Amen. As a missionary, sometimes, you know, you find yourself just getting in a rut and preaching the same thing over and over and over. And before I started this deputation, God said, I got this message and I want you to preach it. And I'm like most preachers, I like to preach new messages occasionally. But it's seemingly that as we travel, we preach to one, and God had blessed it. And I said, God, am I really in your will of preaching this? So this morning, we were with Brother Palacio, who is a good friend of ours now and has been for a few years. And I said, Brother Palacio, we have been preaching ourselves, and we would love to hear some preaching today. Would you preach and just let us testify? And so he agreed to do that. And lo and behold, he preached my message. Amen. And so it just encouraged me and said, yes, this is what, amen, this is what I want you to preach. Amen. And I got other messages that I could preach, but I feel this tonight to preach from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. And I will be very attentive to the time and try not to preach too awful long. You know, old men get long-winded sometime in their old age. And I'll try not to do that tonight. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to notice two things here. God is not like we are. Amen. Amen. And he's not willing that any of us should perish. Amen. And I want to ask your pastor if he will pray God's blessings upon this.
Lord Jesus, we pray tonight you would honor your word in this place. Give Brother Sawyer liberty, deliver his heart, and give us courage, give us faith, and act on the word of God. We thank you for your help, your anointing in this place. In Jesus' name.
You may be seated. Well, I'm going to preach like I know how to preach, and that's country. No other way to do it but preach country. Amen. And I want to preach, you can depend upon my God. Amen. You can depend upon my God. Amen. I want you to notice, he is not slack concerning his promises. Amen. He's different than us, and then he has made us some promises. How is he different? He's not slack on those promises. Amen. He keeps his promises. Have you ever made a promise? Oh, sure, we have all made promises. We may have told that banker or that finance person when we bought a car, I promise you, amen, I'll pay so many dollars every month for 3 years until I get this car paid off. Amen. But we sometimes get ourselves entangled and with all the affairs of this life and things that we think we need but we really don't need, and when the time comes to make that payment, we don't have the money to pay it. Amen. We don't keep our promise. But I want to tell you, God always keeps his promises. Amen. Nearly 45 years ago, amen, I made a promise. I took a beautiful little black-headed girl, amen, not that way anymore, amen, but I took her down to a preacher and said, I promise to keep her and live with her and in health and in sickness and all of these things the rest of my life. Amen. I'm still endeavoring to keep that promises. But many times people make the same promises. It's not but a few weeks or a few months and they're in divorce court. They break their promises. But I want to tell you, God don't ever break his promises. Amen. Wives break their promises to their husbands and don't keep them. Men break their promises to their wife and don't keep them. Oh, I better clarify what I'm talking about. Amen. How many of you ladies, your husband ever told you something like this? You are the best wife in the entire world. I don't know what I'd do without you. Have you ever told her that, man? Well, you need to if you hadn't. Amen. You're the best wife in the world. And when I get my paycheck, I'm going to go down to the mall with you and let you find the dress you want and buy you a new dress. Amen. Ladies, you would like to have a promise if you hadn't got it? But that was on the weekend, a whole week away from receiving their paycheck. Monday morning, he gets up and goes out to get in the car to go to work, puts a key in, and turns it on, and nothing happens because the battery is dead. And he has to spend a whole lot of money buying a new battery. And then for the week's over, the children are sick, a big doctor bill to pay, and a drug bill to pay. And when payday comes, he has to turn to that little woman and say, I made you a promise that I was going to buy you a dress. But something has happened. I don't have the finances. I have spent all of my money. I don't have anything to do it with. And I really intended to buy you that dress, but I can't because I don't have the money. But I want to tell you, God never makes us a promise. And something gets in the way and takes all of his resources. Amen. When he makes you a promise, he can always fulfill it. And he always does. Amen. How many of you ladies ever told your husband, I got to help a man out too. Amen. You're the best husband in the world. You work hard all week. And you eat all of those old sandwiches. And when you could be eating good meal. Tomorrow when you come in from work, you tell me what you want and I'm going to have it on the table. Tell me what your favorite meal is. And I'll have it fixed for you tomorrow. That's what we like, isn't it? Us men like good food. Amen. And then the next morning, when you wake up, he's already gone to work because you overslept. And when you get up and look around, you say, oh, this house is filthy. I've got to get it cleaned up. I've got to wash clothes today. And you start on the clothes, and the telephone rings. And when you answer it, it's an old friend that you went to school with probably. And you hadn't heard from for years. You're so excited. She's so excited. And you talk for hours. And when the phone conversation is over, you look around and say, oh, I got to get these clothes done. You get the clothes done, washed, dried, folded, and put away. Then you rush and about getting the house cleaned up. My husband's going to be here in a few minutes. And he does walk in and said, my, I am so hungry. But I just couldn't hardly wait to get here to that good meal you had prepared for me. And you usher him into the dining room and put a tuna fish sandwich on the table. And he turned, what happened? You promised me you was going to fix me your favorite meal. And then you realize, hey, I forgot about it. You intended to do it, but you forgot it. Anybody ever forgot promises? Amen. I want to tell you, God don't ever forget his promises. Amen. He never forgets them. Amen. You can depend upon my God. Amen. Amen. I don't know about the new president, but if he's like everybody else, there's going to be promises that he forgets about. There's going to be promises he made that he can't do anything about. There's going to be other promises he made he had no intentions to keep it. But I want to tell you, my King, amen, made promises. And he intends to fulfill every one of them. Hey, you can depend upon my God. Amen. You can depend upon him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, amen, tells us that every one of his promises are yea and amen. And there are hundreds of them here. And every one of them can be depended on. Amen. You can depend on my God. Amen. Don't get scared. Amen. I know you are tired. Amen. You got to go to work, so I'm not going to preach about all those hundreds of promises. But can I pick out two or three of them? Amen. I like what your pastor said tonight. Amen. I like this song. It's one of my favorites. Amen. I got a lot of favorites in the Word of God. A lot of promises that are good. Amen. One of my favorites is found in Isaiah 53 and 5. It said, "For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with a good doctor and good medicine." Amen. Thank you, brother. "With his stripes, we are healed." Do you believe it? Amen. Do you believe it? Oh, hallelujah. The sister came a while ago, and we are praying for her that God would help her to sleep good. And naturally, this old flesh begins to think, "Have you tried taking a Xanax?" Amen. But the Word of God said it's with his stripes we're here. He has already paid for it. Amen. And you can depend upon him. It's not the doctor. Nothing wrong with doctors. Amen. But I want to tell you, doctors sometimes will misdiagnose you. But not Jesus. Amen. Medicine is good. But sometimes medicine will cause us side effects. Amen. But not the stripes of Jesus. Amen. You can depend upon him. 1955, I was struck with polio. I was paralyzed from my neck down. Amen. I could not get up and run around and play with the rest of the children because my legs would not work. Amen. I could not reach out and get a glass of water when I got thirsty because my hands would not work. Amen. But thank God for our mother, amen, that knew the power of God. Amen. Knew that it was with his stripes we are healed. I come from a large family. 7 boys and 1 girl. My dad worked at a sawmill all his life. And my mother took odd jobs. That year, 1955, she had took a job working in a new ground, plowing a team of mules. Amen. We were poor. We didn't have a lot. But they did the best they could by us. And I remember my mother praying for me every day. I remember her coming in from the field one day and said, "Son, amen, I was praying for you today. And God gave me a promise that he was going to heal you," as I read Isaiah 53 and 5. "And son, I want to tell you, I made God a promise back. I promised to him, I am not going to eat another bite, Lord, until you heal my son. Son, I won't be eating with y'all for a while. Amen, but it's not going to be long, and you're going to be walking again. You're going to be able to do like the rest of the children." She would get up in the morning. She would fix the food, put it on the table, and the family would sit down to eat. My mom would go to the barn, harness up her team of mules where she could go to work while we eat. She would work all day in that field at noontime while other people were under the shade tree eating their lunch. My mama found a cotton bin, and there she prayed for me. She would come in the afternoon. She would fix the food, put it on the table, call the family to eat. She would go in the back room and pray for us. Amen. We call for fasting and praying sometime, and it's hard to get a whole day. Amen. 3 days, near about impossible. But my mom didn't go just one day. It was not a 3-day fast. It was not a 5-day fast or a week fast. But for 21 long days, amen, my mama said, "God, you made me a promise that you're going to heal my son. And I won't tell you, I'm not going to eat until you heal him." She worked hard every day in that field. And she said, "Son, God's going to heal you." I began to lose my appetite. It wasn't long until I could not eat. My mom forced me to eat. I wanted to die. I had nothing to live for, it didn't look like. But she said, "Son, God's going to heal you." After 21 long days of fasting and praying for me, on a Sunday morning, the pastor came by the house and told my mother, "I knew it was your day to stay home with your son. So I decided I'd just come by and pray for you today." They knelt down and they began to pray. And the assistant pastor slipped in and knelt down and began to pray. It wasn't long, I began to see the door ever so often open up and a saint would walk in, until that little 4-room house where we were at, amen, was full of the saints of God. And they began to worship and they began to praise. The Holy Ghost fell. Amen. And they begin to talk in tongues. Amen. They begin to dance under the Spirit. Amen. They were having themselves a good time. And as they worshiped God, amen, it was early spring. It was still cold there in North Mississippi. We had a big coal heater in the living room where I was laying there. Dad had built a fire, and they were shouting. Amen. That old coal heater was just going back and forth like this. And I thought to myself, somebody's going to shout into this stove and knock it over and set our house on fire. Amen. But they didn't even pay that coal heater any attention. Amen. They worshiped. They praised God. Amen. And as they worshiped and praised God, something happened to me. Amen. I got hungry. Amen. And I thought, well, this prayer meeting will be over, and Mama fixed me something to eat. Amen. But that prayer meeting didn't get over soon. Amen. They kept on talking in tongues. I mean, they kept on dancing. They kept on having a good time. And I just kept getting hungrier and hungrier. I thought I was going to starve to death. So I decided I'm going to interrupt this prayer meeting, or I am going to starve to death. So I cried out, Mama, I'm hungry. Now, I want to let you know, I lost my mom the last time I was here in the States on deputation. But I can still hear her today. Woo! Thank you, Jesus! I knew that you were going to heal my soul. Oh, Lord, I knew that I could depend on you. Oh, thank you, Jesus! I mean, she was getting with it for everything she had. Amen. And everybody else got in high gear. I mean, they worshiped, they praised, until that little old house was just rocking back and forth. Amen. And I just kept getting hungrier and hungrier. I thought that prayer meeting never was going to be over. But finally, they had to go to Sunday school. And my mom came where I was still laying paralyzed and said, Son, it's so good to hear you say you're hungry. I'll fix you anything you want. Just tell me. And I said, Mama, I sure wished I had some cabbage and cornbread. You know I'm country now, don't you? Amen. She said, Son, I've already got a fire built in the stove. Let me go to the garden. She ran out to the garden. She cut the biggest cabbage she could find. She brought it back in the house and prepared it, made a big pound of cornbread, and said, Son, it's just about ready. I'll bring it to you in a minute. And when my mama said that, something else happened. And I said, Mama, you don't have to bring it to me. I'm coming to the kitchen. And these hands that I had not been able to use caught a hold of that quilt and throwed it back. These legs that I had not been able to use, I throwed them across the bed. Amen. I got up and I ran into the kitchen. I ate my cabbage and cornbread. Amen. And I am still walking today. Amen. Because I have got a God that you can depend on. He made a promise. It's with my stripes you are healed. Amen. And he kept his promise. And what he did to me, he'll do it for you. Amen. What he done yesterday, he'll still do it today. Hey, you can depend on my God. Amen. You can depend on him. He hadn't changed. He's still just as powerful. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let God have his way. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We have been missionaries about 20 years. Amen. But I still remember my first week on the field. Oh, it was so wonderful. Amen. After a year of deputational travels, it was so wonderful to be on the field where God had called me. Brother Adon Lopez came to me and said, Brother Sawyer, I'm dedicating a new church Sunday. Amen. And I want you to come do the preaching for me. Amen. I said, great, Brother Adon. Amen. I'll be there. And as I began to make my preparations, other pastors in the city said, I'd like to go with you. until we fill the car full. What I didn't know was the rainy season had already started. I didn't know you're supposed to stay in the city or close to it during the rainy season, or you're liable to get stranded. Amen. But we got in our car and we drove till the road ran out. And then we kept going. We came to the area where there was no bridges across the rivers. But we had to still go. We crossed them the best we could. We came to the last river just before we came to the church. Amen. We had to drive down in the river, drive about a half a mile in the river before we came up on the other side. Amen. That river was only about ankle deep of water, thank the good Lord. We drove up to the new church that we were going to dedicate, a church built from the ground it was sitting on, just red mud brick building. We walked, and it began to rain. We walked on the inside, and I looked around that new building. There was not a pew or a chair anywhere. There was only two pieces of furniture. There was a little table sitting at one end of the building, and one white plastic chair at the back, reserved for their visiting missionary. Amen. I looked around, and it was new to me, and I said, how are we going to have service tonight? Where are the people going to sit? And then church started. I found out most of them stood up the entire service. And I began to preach, and they forgot about all the discomforts. They forgot about no place to sit. It began to get dark. They brought a little lamp and set it on the table that I was using for a podium. That lamp was a little can, had kerosene on the inside, a little rag for a wick. And when they lit that wick, it gave off more smoke than it did light. Amen. I couldn't even see my Bible. I went back over and got my flashlight and brought it up, and I was able to read my text and preach. Amen. But they got with me. They worshiped. Amen. They praised the Lord. I gave an altar call, and the altar filled up. People received the Holy Ghost that night. After service, we went outside, and the rain had really got hard. And Brother Adon looked and said, Brother Sawyer, you can't go home tonight. I said, but Brother Adon, I've got to go home. I left Sister Sawyer in the city by herself. And if I don't come home, she's not going to know what happened. She's going to be frightened. But Brother Sawyer, it is too dangerous. Brother Adon, I've got to go. There's no way I can stay. He said, but Brother Sawyer, please stay. I got my people with me. And we got in the car, and we started driving back toward the city. We drove off in that river that had only been about ankle deep, and it was waist deep. And I said, now I know why they said stay. Lord, I'm going to need you tonight. Well, he was with us, and we crossed that river without any problem. We crossed several more rivers without a whole lot of problem. But then we came to a river that was out of its banks. The rain was still falling, so we decided we'd wait till morning. Maybe the rain would stop and the river would go down. But when morning arrived, the rain was still falling and the river was even deeper than the night before. We continued to wait till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the rain was still falling. But I seen another man on the other side of the river coming with two mules. He came to that river, and with a lot of difficulty, he made those mules swim across that river to where we were at. When he got there, he said, men, why are you standing here waiting? If you're waiting for the river to go down, it's raining in the mountains. And when it rains in the mountains, the river's up for several days or several weeks. You're going to have a long stay. But there is another way. And he got down in the mud and he drew us a map. He said, follow these directions and you can make it to the city without crossing any rivers. We turned our precious Jesus for Christ vehicle around and we began to drive back through that jungle. And the further we drove, the deeper that mud became. Finally, on a mountainside about halfway up, our car bottomed out and we could go no further. So we got out and began to push. There were seven of us there. We all took our turns driving while the rest of them was pushing, whether we knew how to or not. Hour after hour, we done everything we could to get that car out of that mud. We pushed, we pried, we done everything. The only thing we accomplished, we got soaking wet because the rain was still falling. We got covered with mud, and the car also, and we got thoroughly exhausted. When we were so exhausted we couldn't do anything else, we got back in the car, and I whispered a prayer, God, where do I go to from here? And about that time, Brother Benigno Lopez, one of the pastors that was with me, tapped me on the shoulder and said, Brother Sawyer, here comes some men up the road. Maybe they can help us. These men came up to the car on my side. I lowered the window where I could speak to them. And when I looked out, there was two little men on the outside. They were so small, I could hold my hand out like this and put it on top of their head. And I guess Brother Benigno saw my disappointment because he just leaned around me and began to talk to them. He didn't wait for me to talk to them. He did the talking. He said, men, we need some help. This is our American missionary, and it's his first time to be stranded here in the jungle. His wife's in the city, and she's probably frightened, wondering what's happened to her husband. We have pushed, and we can't get this car out. Is there anything you can do to help us? And they said, sure it is. No problem. We're going to push your car to the top of the mountain. And I was saying under my breath to myself, sure you are. When we get to the top of the mountain, preacher, I want to tell you everything's going to be all right. Why don't y'all just stay in the car? There's no need for you to get out. Y'all are exhausted. Let us take care of it for you. We took them at their word because we had pushed for hours, and we were exhausted. These two little men went around behind our car, and they began to push. And in less than 5 minutes, they had pushed our car to the top of the mountain, something seven of us had not been able to do in hours. And when I got to the top of the mountain, I guess my mouth fell open because there's mud everywhere. But the road at the top of the mountain was dry. It was smooth, and it was packed down. And I guess I was just standing there with my mouth open, wondering, how did this happen? And Brother Benigno tapped me on the shoulder again. Brother Sawyer, we have a custom here. When anybody helps us, like these men has helped us, we give them a gift. Brother Benigno, I didn't know this. I didn't bring any gifts. All the thing I have with me is my flashlight. He just reached over and got my flashlight out of my hand. Opened the car door, got out, walked around behind that car to give that gift to those men. And when he got behind the car, there was nobody there. And my mind went back to Psalms 34:7, where God had given us another promise. It said, the angel of the Lord encamp around about them. Amen. Amen. That fear him and, listen to this, and deliver them. Amen. I want to tell you, you can depend upon my God. Amen. You can depend upon my God. Amen. He won't ever let you down. Amen. He has already put the angel there to take care of you. Put your trust in him, because you can depend upon him. Well, let me bring, amen, time, amen, will not permit me to talk about many of the promises I would like to talk about. Amen. Time will not permit me to tell you how God healed me from hepatitis C when the doctor said, I'm sending you home to die. Amen. But I depended on God. Yes, sir. And I'm still here. How many years later? More than 15 years. Amen. Time will not permit me to tell you what happened in January. How I went blind. And how the doctor is a witness that God healed me. All my life I had wore real thick glasses with a vision of 400, 600. But God reached down and healed me. And today, I only have to wear bifocals. I have a vision of 20-30. Amen. Time will not permit me to tell you about Sister Consuela getting down to praying and said, God, amen, thank you for the rice and beans, but I don't have any meat and hadn't had any meat for a while. God, I'd like to have some chicken. And how God provided one chicken and their family eat on it for a whole week. Amen. Because you can depend on my God. Amen. But let me wind it up with one of my favorite promises in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse number 39. It said, for the promise is unto you. What promise are you talking about? The promise of the Holy Ghost. A promise of salvation. For the promise is unto you. I want to tell you, you have a promise. If you don't have the Holy Ghost here tonight, you have a promise that you can have it. And to your children. Amen. Is there anybody here that has children that are not saved? Amen. I want to tell you, your children have a promise. Don't give up on God. You can depend on Him. Amen. You can depend on Him. And to all those that are far off. Amen. That means in Colombia. That means in Belize. Amen. We have a promise that we can go and preach the word and they will receive it. Julio was a thief. He didn't work. He had a philosophy. Why work when you can steal what you want? And he lived by it. Never worked a day. He stole everything he could get his hands on. He began to practice how to become a pickpocket. Finally, he said, became so good that I could bump into a person, get everything they had in their pockets. One day, I seen a man had some pretty suspenders on. And he said, I'm going to get them too. He got everything he had in the pocket. He also got their suspenders. That's pretty good, isn't it? Or pretty bad. The way you look at it.
Yeah.
Julio's wife's name was Norma. Norma had her profession. She was a prostitute. She made her living on the streets at nighttime. But one day they was home together at the same time. And there came a knock on the door. When they opened the door, there stood an elderly Pentecostal lady. And they invited her in. And she began to witness to them about a God that loved them. Amen. A God that wanted to save them. And as she witnessed to them, Norma began to cry. And she said, I'm not satisfied with my life. But God won't save me because I'm too bad. And the lady assured her that God would change her life. She went on her way. And Julio turned to Norma and said, Norma, you can go to church if you want to. But I'm happy the way I'm living and I don't want to change. Sunday morning, Norma got up and began to get ready to go to church. And said, Julio, would you go with me? And Julio said, Norma, you can go to church if you want to, but I'm not going. Don't talk to me about church. That Sunday morning, she came in, and she liked what she felt. She enjoyed the singing, but above all, she liked the preaching, because the preacher told her what she had to do to be saved. He gave an altar call. She came. She repented of every sin that she knew about. And then the ladies began to worship with her and tell her how to worship to receive the Holy Ghost. It wasn't too awful long until Norma was talking in tongues as the Holy Ghost came in. When the service was over, the pastor said, Norma, would you like to say something? And she said, Preacher, this is the first time I've been here and I have really enjoyed it. Thank you for preaching that message, telling me what to do to be saved. You told me that I had to repent. If I was going to be saved, I repented. You told me that I had to have the Holy Ghost. I have received it. And I know I've received it because I spoke in tongues that I didn't even know I was saying. But preacher, you told me also that I had to be baptized in Jesus' name if I was going to be saved. And I have not been baptized. And I'm afraid to leave here today until you baptize me. Would you please baptize me this morning? That day Norma went home in wet clothes. She walked in and she said, Julio, let me tell you what happened. Julio said, Norma, I told you I don't mind you going to church. but don't even talk to me about church. But Julio began to watch Norma. He noticed the first thing that she didn't go back out on the street at night times. Her wardrobe began to change until she was wearing good holiness clothes. He seen her faithfulness to church, and he heard her pray every day and call his name. Before, every time she would go to church, she would say, Julio, would you go with me? He would always tell her the same thing. Norma, you can go, but I don't want to go. One Sunday morning, as she got up and started getting ready, Julio started getting ready. When they were both ready, she said, Julio, what you going to do today? He said, I'm going to church with you. They came in. Norma always sat on the front, about where Sister Sawyer's sitting. And she came to her normal place. Julio stopped at the back. And then that service started. And it felt so good, he got up, moved up a pew or two. And then they began to sing. And he said, I have never heard singing so good. I like this. And he got up, moved up another pew or two. And then they began to testify. And he told me, he said, I looked around, and there was somebody on the floor all the time. One time I looked around, and there was two people talking at the same time. And I thought to myself, I didn't know that everybody here was preachers, but I like this. He got up, moved up another pew. And then the preacher began to preach. And he said, my priest never preached like this. This is the best preaching I ever heard. And when it came time for an altar call, Julio had already got up and moved up all the way to the front right beside Norma. He came to the altar. Norma got up to come help pray him through. But when she got there, Julio was already talking in tongues. Amen. I want to tell you, how did this happen? That God would fill a prostitute and a thief with a wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost? We have a promise. Amen. And you can depend upon that promise. Amen. If you've got needs in your life, I want to tell you, whatever that need is tonight, God can help you with it. He desires to. You can depend upon my God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Would you stand with me right now? Amen. Praise God. He supplies our needs. Our greatest need is to know Him and the power of the Holy Ghost and His great salvation. Amen. We had invited a couple of ladies to come and help us with Sunday school literature, Columbia. They came. They were busy working. We were busy working. And there was a box that came in the mail. It was full of clothes and items from the United States. So we were looking through that box and deciding, well, who can wear this and who can use that? And of all things, as we began to unpack that box, we come across a wedding dress. And we thought, who in the world would send a wedding dress in a box to Columbia, South America? And we pulled that dress out of there, and we turned to one of those ladies at working and said, do you know anybody needs a wedding dress? Jokingly. And one of the girls' eyes lit up, and she says, I can. She says, I'm getting married soon, and I don't have a wedding dress. I don't have any way of getting a wedding dress. And you know what? She tried that dress on, and it fit. Amen. Praise God. You think the Lord can take care of your needs? Amen. A sweet little old girl all the way down in South America. Amen. And working for God faithfully. And my, what a need He supplied. Amen. God can take care of things. Amen. Why worry? Just let God take care of things tonight. There's a beautiful spirit in this place and a beautiful message, punctuated and illustrated by testimonies of what God has done. I think tonight it would be wrong to leave this service before we had an opportunity to pray. Somebody here may have a great need in your life. Somebody here tonight, this might be the night that you want to give your life to the Lord. This might be the time that He's knocking on the door of your heart and you're willing to tell Him, Jesus, I really do need You. Won't You come in? I need You so desperately. Amen. Would you come tonight? Or you been looking for a place and a time to make a change? This is that time and this is that place. Amen. If you'd step out from where you are and walk down to the front of this building, I promise you the Lord will come with you. We'll help you all we can. We'll instruct you on how to make your way into the presence of God. Or you may be like Julio. You may receive the Holy Ghost before anybody gets a chance to help you. Because God's serious about helping you tonight. He is just waiting for an opportunity. If you'll give Him that opportunity, He'll help you. Amen. Anybody have a need? Let me invite you to come. Praise God. Let me invite you to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, You're here right now in a beautiful way. Amen. Praise God. That's right. Somebody just listen to the Lord. Step out from where you are. Respond to the Holy Spirit of God as He speaks to your heart and draws you into His presence. Amen. He's here right now. He wants to help. He wants to save. If you've got some problems, He wants to deliver you. You have some habits you can't get rid of, He'll help you to break the shackles and He'll set you free. Amen. You got some things that you're not proud of, some things that you're ashamed of. Let Him cleanse you today and wash your mind, wash your conscience completely clean tonight. You can leave this place. Amen. Knowing that the Lord has done a great work in your life. Hallelujah. Knowing that God has done something special for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is here right now. Reach out and touch Him. Jesus is here right now to help you receive. Jesus is standing near, ready your heart to cheer. Jesus is here right now, only believe. Yes, Jesus is here right now, reach out and touch Him. Jesus is here right now to help you receive. Jesus is standing near, ready your heart to cheer. Jesus is here right now, only believe. Jesus is here right now, reach out and touch Him. Jesus is here right now to help you receive. Jesus is standing here, ready your heart to. Jesus is here right now, church, reach out and touch Him. Jesus is here right now, only